Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Happy to be with you on this Thursday. Wow, there's so many different stories going on. I keep thinking about Hulk Hogan. You know, it's so interesting because just 1 year ago, I was filling in for Annie Fry. Exactly 1 year ago to this date. And Hulk Hogan was in our building here in Detroit, and I didn't get to meet him because I was filling in. I got my one and only chance ever to meet Hulk Hogan. And the news today was interesting because when I was younger, I was a wrestling fan. I watched it all the time. Thought it was fantastic. And I enjoyed it. Wrestling took this weird turn after a while. After I stopped watching it, they got to the Attitude Era. And everything was just like over-sexual, over-swearing, over-drinking, over this, over that. It was like it was the Attitude. And when I watched it, it was more or less trash-talking fun. And then they go on and they do their soap opera theatrics for the crowd and the cameras. And I really enjoyed that. I thought Hulk Hogan was an interesting pop culture icon. And we were discussing this and with Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan dying in the same week. One person asked this question. Who had a bigger impact to their circle, their industry, Hulk Hogan or Ozzy Osbourne? Was it Ozzy with music or was it Hulk Hogan the wrestling? That is a very serious thing you could debate. I mean, both of them were so influential in their own way. I know wrestling goes deep with Fred, our producer here.
Yeah.
And Fred, I remember a lot of the different conversations we had when you were a teenager. You had a newsletter that you sold to strangers in the mail.
Well, yeah, subscribers. I called them subscribers, not strangers.
And these subscribers wanted to know, you know, there's different regions and wrestling outfits across the country where these same wrestlers would go and they would wrestle in these different places, but they didn't really have this national network. So whenever they came to St. Louis or regionally, you'd watch it on TV, you'd write it up, and then you would send it out to your subscribers.
That's right.
So you've been watching wrestling for a long time. So probably have seen Hulk Hogan for decades.
Since the early 80s, I would think so. In St. Louis, it was the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA. Sam Muchnick was the promoter. And that was, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. And then, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment, or WWF is what it started out to be. WWF, World Wrestling Federation, came about in the 80s with Vince McMahon, the husband of Linda McMahon. You know, that's where Hulk Hogan came about and took the world by storm.
What do you think some of the most appealing wrestlers are to you? Did you have favorites?
Oh, yeah, I did. Back then, Jack Briscoe, Dory Funk Jr., Andre the Giant was just getting started then. And one of the interesting things about Hulk Hogan is that he was discovered by the Briscoe brothers, Jack and Jerry Briscoe. They saw him performing in a band in Tampa and said, look at this guy's physique. This is amazing. And they talked to him about, you know, maybe you ought to get in with some trainers and see if you can wrestle. And that's how it all became, you know, how the legend of Hulk Hogan began.
Yeah, 71 years old, Hulk Hogan passing away today at his home in Clearwater, Florida. I think they said technically at the hospital, but it was cardiac arrest. And I think about the memories I have watching wrestling and Hulk Hogan telling you to eat your vitamins, kids, and ripping the shirt open and all of these different things. Ethan, I know we have some audio clips here. How about we play what I think is a pretty good moment after the 1987 Andre the Giant match? This is clip number 7, if we have it.
Hulkamania was put to the ultimate test, but Mean Gene, when the time came right, when I had Andre the Giant right where I wanted him, the largest arms in the world, with the support of 90,000 plus Hulkamaniacs, helped me slam the Giant right in the center of the ring.
What did he call him, 24-inch pythons or something? What did he call him? And then the Hulkamaniacs were all the kids that were his fans, and I've never ripped my shirt like that. I wish I, you know, if I wouldn't get in trouble with my wife, she would really be upset if I ripped this shirt in half right now. But in honor of Hulk Hogan, I think when I go home later, I'm going to rip a shirt in half.
You think you could do that? I don't even know if I could do that.
I think once you get past the collar stitching, you're okay. Like, you know, it's clear sailing at that point. Ethan, I would encourage you to do it too. I see you're wearing a Cardinal shirt, but it looks like you got it from Goodwill. So what I would do is just rip it right now if you could.
This is actually a giveaway. So, I mean, basically the same level of quality.
Oh, you got it from the stadium? Yeah,
yeah, I did.
Did you know who Hulk Hogan was much?
Me?
Yeah, because we were asking the younger people in the newsroom today, and they didn't know who Hulk Hogan really was.
Oh, my God. Like, that's so sad. I was never really into the WWE. The most I was ever into it, my best friend was a huge WWE fan, so anything I knew about it was through him. And even then, I still knew who Hulk Hogan was. So, yeah. I mean, that's crazy that people my age would have no idea who he is.
I think you've also got a clip of him as, I guess it's Thunderlips in Rocky III.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, where he became, you know, renowned to a lot of America.
Well, do we have that clip, Ethan?
The very bottom?
Rocky III.
Thunderlips is here. In the flesh, baby.
Oh, my God.
The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
I call Rocky a meatball. Hulk Hogan, he did TV. He did other movies. He did voice work. You know, him and Ozzy were in a movie together. Did you know that? They were both voiced a cartoon character in a movie that came out not that long ago. I forgot which one it was. I worry about, you know, his legacy and how people are going to remember him.
Hey, Ryan, on Fox News right now, we've got, looks like President Trump was just standing side by side with Fed Chair Jerome Powell taking questions, if you want to dip in for a second.
Yeah, let's take a couple of minutes of that. Let's take a listen.
$1 billion in order to lower their tariffs a little bit. That way they have a little bit lower tariff. And they also opened their country to free trade, which nobody thought was even a possibility. And we get a zero tariff in the free trade. We don't pay tariffs, and they're going to pay 15% on everything they send into our country. So it's great. But they put up, as you could call it, seed money. Let's call it seed money. You could call it
Who's
anything
they?
You want. But it's a total of $550 billion. So nobody thought any of that was possible. And it's wonderful. And we're doing pretty well with the European Union, likewise. And we have some others. They're all really big, and our country's going to make a lot of money. We would be helped if interest rates would come down, but we're going to see how the board rules on that soon. I'd love to see them come down a lot. But we have a country that's thriving. We had a dead country 1 year ago. Today we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. And we'll get this one finished.
Mr. President, thank you.
Yeah, they're walking away right now.
Okay.
Looks like they're at the construction site of where they're doing all the work on the Federal Reserve right now, is what it looks like. So
he announced some sort of deal. We just got the tail end of it. We're going to have to catch the headline because that seems like a pretty big deal. Him and Jerome Powell. It's so funny because you have Hulk Hogan call Sylvester Stallone a meatball, which first thing I thought was Donald Trump calling Jerome Powell a knucklehead. And then there they were live. It looks like some big breaking news. If you see the bottom third there, what tariff country they were talking about trades with.
I thought they were saying Japan? It sounded like they were saying Japan at first, but I didn't hear him say that they were announcing anything or not. Right now, it just says that Trump meets with Powell at the Federal Reserve. So, right. So we don't know anything. Japan, it may have just been an update as to where they are in negotiations as well.
Right. I thought that may have came out yesterday, so maybe he's just referring to the news from that point. Well, good old wrestler. Can I tell you, there's so many. TMZ must be working overtime right now because all the different celebrity deaths. Do you see Chuck Mangione passed away? You probably heard that. The only reason I know him is because King of the Hill mentions him, and he is like the spokesperson for Megalomart on the fictitious chain store down in Texas. And then, of course, Ozzy Osbourne passing. TMZ had that one. Probably the craziest of all the different stories that are out there right now. TMZ talking about, do you see LeBron James just filed a lawsuit against these AI creators because he's tired of people making pregnancy videos of him?
Stop it.
So LeBron James is suing these AI generated video companies because he's tired of people putting him in positions like pregnancy. They said there's other disturbing videos that are negative implications. For example, versions of Diddy parties, we'll put it that way. One showing James as a homeless person on his knees with his tongue sticking out. One as a pregnant man. So he's like, I'm tired of these AI videos of people making fun of me. So he's suing them all. LeBron James pregnancy videos.
On one hand, part of me says, you have all the money in the world, dude. Everyone, like, you think most people know that those are fake. And on the other side, you're like, well, you know, you can't blame him. And hopefully, maybe, you know, if these go his way, then some of this, you know, there will be some sort of limits or regulations to some of this. Because it can get out of hand really easily.
I mean, just think of all the entertainment news that came out this week. That's what's driving most of the headlines. Ozzy Osbourne dying, Hulk Hogan passing away, Chuck Mangione, one of the Cosby kids that started it all, Malcolm Jerome Warner passing away. And now... right. And then you have LeBron James suing AI creators because they're making videos of him as a pregnant man. What a week. All right. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk to J. Peter Zane. He's the editor of Real Clear Investigation, columnist for Real Clear Politics. He has a piece on Russiagate versus Epstein files and some of the hypocrisies there. We'll talk to him coming up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even the evidence, President Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment.
And that is Tulsi Gabbard. You heard yesterday, we played some clips of that too. That's a pretty big story revelation there. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. Joining us now is someone that has an interesting commentary piece up on Real Clear Politics, Peter Zane. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. Nice to talk to you.
So Epstein versus Russiagate. I wanted to kind of go to the start of this. Tale of two stories. First concerns President Trump's backpedaling on pledges to release government files connected to the long-dead pervert Jeffrey Epstein. Second involves the growing evidence that President Obama and his top officials spread the false narrative, casting Trump as a treasonous agent of Russia, one that hobbled his first term. I've noticed in the way that major news organizations, the TV networks, at least the TV NBCs, ABCs, the way that they decide to cover this is we need to lead with what is most damaging in our eyes to Donald Trump, what makes him look bad. Not necessarily what the bigger story is. They lead with what can we do to try to degrade Donald Trump. I'm guessing you're probably seeing that same type of trend in news coverage.
100%. And so one of the things, I also work for Real Clear Investigations, and we do aggregate links to deep dive journalism every day. And so I go to 50 to 80 websites a day and looking for things that we might post. And I would say for the past 2 weeks almost, every legacy media, just about every legacy media's homepage has had the top half of it has just been Epstein. I mean, they literally have been covering it like the invasion of Normandy. I did a little search of the New York Times for July 16th to July 23rd. They had at least 50 stories just on this. And so the way to, and it's of course part of a larger pattern, because if you remember, they thought that Medicaid reform was going to hurt Trump, so they wrote endlessly about that. They wrote endlessly about the big beautiful bill was going to expand the debt and the deficit, even though they've never shown any concern about that. And of course, the irony there too is that the Medicaid reforms were trying to, in some ways, bring down the deficit and debt, but they attacked him on both fronts simply because they thought it might be effective.
And you know what I find is now. This is what I find, at least with news coverage, is if you go back to the Biden administration, you have the major networks that basically would say, if the Biden administration told us or a spokesperson told us, then we know it is true, so we're going to report on it as fact. But when it comes to something like the Donald Trump administration, what they'll do is they'll say, what can we take right now to force him to be the center of this attention in a negative way? And that's what we're rolling with. It doesn't matter what anyone in his administration is saying. And it could be a very dangerous thing to do, because what we found is so many times Donald Trump is vindicated. They find out the stories that he's bringing out are truthful. This happens over and over again, but they never correct the story. They've already moved on to the next thing they think could damage him.
You nailed it. And I think that they, and this is what I say at the end of the column, I think that we've had so much dishonesty from both the Democrats and the legacy media that for which they have not been held accountable, that they just don't have any sense that they should do anything other than go after this man. And when their lies are exposed, nothing will happen. And I mean, you basically, the impunity for Russiagate, and that's what it was, the worst political scandal in American history that corrupted the White House, the CIA, the FBI, the media, and on it goes, nothing happened. And I think that's what then emboldened them to lie about the Hunter Biden laptop, to lie about Joe Biden's capacities. They just, whatever they need to say, they're completely unprincipled, I think is the main point. They have no principle, they just want power. And so they have no limiting principle to stop them from doing something. And yet the further irony is they constantly cast themselves as the moral agents of this country. And they're always in high dudgeon about cruelty, meanness, retribution, whatever you want to call it, when they in fact have absolutely zero morality or principle. And that principle would be judging everybody by the same standard.
Peter Zane is joining us, editor at Real Clear Investigations, columnist for Real Clear Politics, and the opinion piece is out, Epstein versus Russiagate. Here's what I think some critics would say, and I'd be curious what you think about this. At this point, you're basically bringing up a straw man. What you're saying is, okay, we're going to talk about Russiagate right now because we want to redirect from the Epstein things, which is actually the bigger story. I think the bigger debate, to me at least, is what is the bigger story? What has the bigger implications? And why is one being hidden and other one is being forced upon? I mean, I do believe the Epstein story is a big story, and a lot of people do care about it. But then you have to weigh it with everything else that's going on and what new information is out with it as opposed to speculation. And then you have to be able to use that as a way to report, but people don't look at it that way. So what do you think about this? Like the whole idea of this Russiagate and the timing of it is only to distract.
It may be distracting, you know, but it's distracting from a completely unfair story. And I guess I understand the Trump's base and their feeling that wealthy, influential people have been protected. okay? And that, in fact, there's also a sexual element to it, which Jeffrey Epstein's case also brings up. But what's the end game here? And you know, part of the problem now, and you saw this with the judge in Florida, is, you know, is it really fair to release information where people just knew him? Or, I mean, in other words, everybody's, the brush that they're tainting Trump with, there's no evidence that Trump was with underage women with Jeffrey Epstein, and yet that is the implication. And it's totally unfair, but he's the president and he can defend himself. But, I mean, do we want to release files simply to, you know, find out who flew on this guy's plane? Yeah. Well, what does that serve?
I will say if,
I'm not
if
saying
the roles
not do it, but, you know.
I would say this, if the roles were reversed, like let's say hypothetically, Joe Biden's in office and the Epstein thing comes out and the Wall Street Journal says we have reason to believe Joe Biden's name's on the Epstein list. But at the same time, the Biden administration came out and said we also have proof that Donald Trump was someone that was colluding with, you know. So let's say the roles were reversed. I believe the media would flip it in a heartbeat. I think they would be hiding this Epstein stuff and they would be leading with everything else, which to me shows there is a clear bias in the way they're reporting this because they just don't like the guy around it as opposed to looking at it both as individual news stories.
Well, let's also just look at the Russiagate side. I mean, what has come out? It's sort of the same thing where we know the pattern. We know that Obama and his henchmen and Hillary Clinton concocted this phony story. We know that already. But the level of detail that we have, that has been brought out in the last few days about how shabby the sources were for the claims that they made is truly significant. And we've been covering this at Real Clear Investigations and Real Clear Politics for many years. And this is actually, you know, important, groundbreaking stuff. And the same media that first of all, let's not forget, ignored Epstein for years. They didn't care when Biden was in office. You know, all of these files were just sitting there. Where was the demand, if it was of any significance, you know, that he released these things? But they now are doing everything they can to dismiss this stuff. Oh, it's old news, or, oh, they're going after Obama. Well, they should go after Obama, because it's clear from the evidence that he knew that this was nonsense, and he advanced it. And he was the president of the United States. And he ought to be held accountable. They're not going to arrest him. They're not going to. None of that's going to happen. But he needs that halo taken off his head, because what he did was so wrong. And their efforts to protect him. I mean, again, that's really all I was trying to say in the column is you have explosive information that goes to the heart of American democracy. Ironically, the whole point that they made about January 6th, it had to do with the peaceful transfer of power. And they did not let that happen by concocting this nonsense. And that story's being ignored. And, you know, the salacious and certainly, you know, titillating Jeffrey Epstein story that probably does involve rich, powerful people and sex is getting wall-to-wall coverage. And it's only telling us something that we've already know, and that is how biased and disgraceful legacy media is, but it's something that we have to keep doing. And honestly, it can get a little old sometimes because we keep saying the same thing. But if you don't, then they're just going to do it with even more impunity.
Yep. Well, people wanted to read your commentary. Where can they go?
Go to realclearpolitics.com.
Very easy. The commentary, Epstein versus Russiagate. And Peter Zane, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time today. Very good conversation. Coming up after the break is a visiting fellow for higher education at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about what we're seeing when it comes to settling some of these college campus protests and the developments around not only Columbia University, but Harvard as well. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Riordan. Joining us now, a visiting fellow for higher education at Heritage Foundation, author of Slacking, A Guide to Ivy League Miseducation. I enjoyed our conversation with him not that long ago. Joining us again is Adam Kissel. Thank you for coming back.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
We've seen some recent developments on college campuses. Columbia University, it was announced today that they're going to pay over $220 million to the government, part of a settlement to go back and look at some of the mistakes that they made during campus protests. There's been a lot of other universities in the same situation. We're talking about these pro-Palestinian protests that were there and flat out harassing Jewish members of the community over a long period of time. The university was slow to react or step in or even protect them from physical harm in some cases. It was really, really bad. So Trump administration did not like that. They said this is activity that should not be tolerated on campuses. We need to make sure you understand that $220 million government settlement to resolve some of the problems with that. And they're not the only college campus that has resolved it through finances. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. So what do you think could happen in the future? Do you think this sends a pretty strong signal to universities to not tolerate that stuff?
Other than for sexual violence settlements, this is the largest settlement that a university has had to pay for bad behavior. The next top three are all about False Claims Act on grants. This one is about civil rights. This is about basic humane treatment of your own students and faculty members. So if you're another university that is discriminating on the basis of race or committing anti-Semitic acts or letting students on campus take over a library and do that, your number is going to come up too. So if you are admitting students on the basis of race, if you are hiring faculty on the basis of race, if you're turning a blind eye to discrimination on campus, you're in trouble. And so now that you look at Columbia and you see that you can come back into compliance, it's going to cost you some money, you're going to say, you know what, we either need to audit ourselves and get clean fast, or we're going to have to settle with the government. But one way or the other, we're going to have to stop discriminating. So it's a positive sign.
It is. And I think these university presidents realize that the tides are somewhat turning on them. There was that instance with Santa Ono. He's the president of University of Michigan. He announced that he was going to go take a job down in Florida. And they go through the formal process of approval, and the Board of Regents down there said, we don't want this type of stuff down in Florida. The stuff that you, and they really point back to what was going on in the college campus during this protest. They said, what we saw and the way that you're treating your Jewish community and allowing these things to fester was just beyond what we want to for the person that is leading our university. So it's the first time that's ever happened for that university down in Florida. They said they denied a job to an incoming president. So do you think maybe, at least on the college level, okay, if you're running a university, for some of these people like Columbia, $220 million is a lot of money, but they'll be just fine. But when you start talking about people's personal lives and finances, like the president that won't get a job now because of the record that is under his belt, maybe that is another consequence that these presidents will have a bigger incentive to step in.
That's right. But we should also know that about Columbia, for instance, it's not just about the money, but it's about the culture on campus and changing the policies and practices so that it's a more merit-based institution. So it's a big win at Columbia, not just because of the money, which, as you say, is just half of 1 year's worth of federal research grants for Columbia. But now Columbia has agreed to adhere to principles of merit in hiring and in admissions, non-discrimination, equal justice, meaning if you're an international student, you don't get special treatment, and transparency with funds that are provided to Colombia from other countries. So when we can win like that across the board, that's the kind of model that also comports with academic freedom that the government and a bunch of other universities can come to. And I'll tell you, they're going to have to come to it if they don't reform on their own.
So what do you think about some of these different universities getting investigated? And joining us here is Adam Kissel, visiting fellow for Higher Education Heritage Foundation, author of Slacking, A Guide to Ivy League Miseducation, which is very good. We'll have to talk about that. But some of these different universities getting notification from the federal government that you've discriminated against U.S. citizens and things like scholarships, meaning you made it so that it was impossible for them to apply for certain aid, but you would only open the aid for people that were non-citizens, these students coming in. So they're looking at that as discrimination for U.S. citizens. I think some of these college campuses are getting the reality check here that this type of discrimination is not tolerated.
You know, it's a pervasive problem to have racial discrimination in scholarships and fellowships, but also national origin discrimination. And even worse, when that discrimination is going against Americans themselves. And worst of all, when it's going to illegal alien students over Americans.
Right. And that is something that seems common sense. I thought we all agree discrimination is bad, but it was happening widespread on college campuses for the longest time.
Yes. Well, it's great that the Supreme Court said 2 years ago that ending discrimination means ending all of it. And that's, I think, what opened the door for the government under Trump to not turn a blind eye the way that the Biden administration did, and to say, you know what? We're going to make that real, finally, and we're going to take these universities to task for all the different kinds of discrimination that they've been committing. Scholarships, fellowships, admission, hiring, single-sex programs. Well, I like single-sex programs that help people, but they need to be open to everyone. So if you want to teach STEM to girls, that's great, but you've got to teach STEM to boys too.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point of not discriminating.
Well, you're the author of Slacking, A Guide to Ivy League Miseducation. Do you think that some of these universities one day in the future will have a course along the lines of embrace your discrimination? It's okay.
Right. So what we show in the book is that across the Ivy League, there's this narrative of you must be mentally ill and have oppressions, and we're going to help you through that, or we're going to indulge your biases and your passions rather than teach you the best that has been thought and said in the world, to become a better human being and citizen, to be empowered instead of think of yourself as a victim. The problem with those curricular lapses is all over the Ivy League, in the humanities and in the social sciences. So if you're interested in having a great education, you should probably go to a nice state school that has a great honors college and core curriculum, and you're going to end up being a better person and probably get a better job because you're better educated.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that a lot of these different employers are taking note, the different courses that these kids are taking, in a sense that I want to know, you know, if I was hiring someone, and sometimes you got to be careful because you don't want to break any equal opportunity laws, or you don't want to look at employment law, but I would be concerned that, because a lot of these big companies are worried about the culture inside of their building, I would be concerned that I was going to hire in someone that would inherently want to discriminate based on race, or inherently look at it because my college told me that it was acceptable. I don't want that.
Right. Right. So if I'm hiring somebody who's, say, graduated in the last 5 years from an Ivy League institution, I'm not going to be starstruck by the name on the diploma, and I'm not going to be starstruck by the 4.0 average because everybody with grade inflation has A's and A minuses. I'm going to go into the transcript and say, did you take the serious courses or did you take the slacker courses? If you went to Cornell, did you take the science course that has you watch Disney movies to learn about animals and that counts? Or did you take engineering? Did you take statistics?
Oh, no. Disney movies. What? Is that right?
Yep. So that's how you learn about animals. And then you pretend you're one of the animals and you're an animal society and you have to solve your differences. So if you're the lion and somebody else is the mouse, like, that's a real science course. It meets your science requirement at Cornell. Where at Princeton, you can take a whole course to meet your social sciences requirement on shoes.
I mean, that might be a fun afternoon in eighth grade, but not a full semester in a college course.
Right. And so, like Yale says in their arts and humanities requirement, we're going to teach you how to understand and appreciate the highest achievements of humanity. But then the course that you can take to meet that is called, one of them, Introduction to the Occult Sciences, and you learn recipes for summoning demons and angels.
Oh, no.
Right? Or you take this course on Beyonce, or you take this course on East Asian martial arts films. Again, like, maybe fun for electives, but that's not how you're going to become a better human being, I'm telling you.
No. I would argue it probably pushes you further away from it. By the way, if people want to look you up online and your book or some of the work that you're doing, where can they go?
For academic and policy work, heritage.org. And for thoughts in the world, there's always X, Kissel_Adam.
That's great. You know, one last thing, we saw the State Department looking into Harvard again. There's already questions about them and what they're going to do when it comes to their campus protests. Now that Columbia has made that settlement with the government, but still they're reviewing the visas, the J-1 visa program, and universities like Harvard that were endorsing foreign students to participate in these exchange programs, noting that all sponsors of the program must comply with regulations. And that's what Secretary of State Marco Rubio was bringing up in a statement. Now there's questions if they were actually on the up and up in these. So what do you think about these type of endorsements at Harvard?
Well, if the United States is letting somebody into our country to study, we want them to actually like America enough to not try to undermine us. And I don't think Harvard and a bunch of other institutions, including Columbia, have done a good job at all about vetting students from other countries who come, say, from China or the Middle East. And their idea is to become professional graduate students and become activists. And they're often the anti-Semites. So Department of State is totally right to say, we're going to take a good look at Harvard and see if we can still support their policies as they bring in graduate students. So it's right. Now, Harvard has already won a round over a different version of this in court. But this is independent of that presidential memorandum. This is Department of State independently saying, if you're not serving American interests, maybe you don't deserve to get international students.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of universities. I'll bring back University of Michigan again, because they had the same thing with Chinese exchange students bringing in these very dangerous substances to study in here. And they were caught at the airport. We're talking about... there's two instances where different dangerous substances were being brought in. So we got to look at it and say, okay, well, what's the reason for this? And should we be endorsing this sort of thing? What did the school know about it? Were they trying to circumvent, let's say, the safety of all these other passengers, or maybe the threat of perhaps destroying all our crops to bring in these dangerous pieces into the country? Okay, I think people should go and look at your book. I know the last time we spent talking about Slacking, a Guide to Ivy League Miseducation, I had a great time learning about some of these courses the kids were taking. I think it's well worth the time of any listener to go check up in Adam Kinzel, Kissel online. Kissel_Adam, is that where you said you're on next?
Yep. And if you're interested in the book, Encounter Books is where you can find Slacking. And if you notice some other books you like, you probably will. It's a great publisher.
Adam Kissel, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. We want to thank Adam Kissel, who joined us in the last segment with Heritage Foundation. And he's right. I mean, I think it would be good for these universities to realize that the anti-Semitism, the harassment, the discrimination based on race, national origin, these things that were not only tolerated but celebrated, as this is what true diversity looks like on college campus, is a dangerous precedent that has been going on way too long. And I think, like Columbia University being one of them, realizing maybe some of their mistakes, recognizing it in a settlement, and some of these other large universities too, who get government funding, one day has to realize that if you're acting in this way and discriminating, that maybe it's best that the United States withholds some of that funding until you stop discriminating against race, religion, national origin, you name it. So I want to go back to the announcement that came out earlier with Linda McMahon, and this is clip number 21. I think she pretty much sums it up right here.
Wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump were not president, and I'm really pleased to execute his vision for this, that our campuses are now they're what they should be. They're places for debate. They're places for education. They're not places for left-leaning riots and anti-Semitism.
Okay. You know, I'm going to pop over in the comments real quick on our video feed. Okay. So I'm going to ask a question to anyone that's watching right now, and I'm going to let you answer here. Would you rather hear a clip of Joy Behar from The View talk about how Donald Trump's jealous of Obama, or do you want to hear clips of Hulk Hogan being Hulk Hogan? All right. Go ahead and type in an answer right now, and then I will let you decide how we end this hour, because I have a feeling I know which way you are going. So I'm going to start going in that direction right now. I was a little Hulkamaniac growing up. I loved the Bushwhackers. I thought it was funny the way those guys would go around licking people. Such a weird thing. And they did that thing with their arms. I think they're from like Australia or New Zealand, which is, you know, to me, completely different cultures. But then the older you get, you realize you have much more in common in these other countries than people make it out to be. But I liked Hulk Hogan. I liked Macho Man Randy Savage. I liked Ted DiBiase. I like the bad guys, Mr. Perfect, things like that. But Hulk Hogan was one of those staples that was always consistently awesome. Like anytime you went in there, you knew you're going to get a good show from Hulk Hogan. And even when he left the World Wrestling Federation, did WCW, he kind of like created this gang, the New World Order. And part of it was bringing some of these old guys. So you get to watch them all play together again on television. And there was this like big rivalry. It was fun when there was competition. I really enjoyed it, but he kind of transcended. He was a pop culture icon, this Hulk Hogan was. And what I like to see is when sometimes the people that you liked when you were younger are not completely the strongest leftists out there. Like sometimes you see these musicians or these actors, they just, they're like, oh, I really like their work. I just, anything they say outside of that is, I'm so lit down. I'm so bummed out by it. I can't support any of that stuff. And then 2024 comes around and Hulk Hogan's behind the podium at the Republican National Convention, ripping his shirt off. And I said, one person from my childhood that I never expected this to happen. There he is up there doing his thing. And this is part of the clip from that. This is clip number 8 of the Hulkster at the RNC.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Let him go. And then the president posting a photo of Hulk Hogan, them behind the scenes. You know, you have Hulkamania flexing, and he did have some pretty big arms, I'll tell you. I saw some of the photos of my colleagues that all got photos with him a year ago to this date, and I missed out on it because I was in this exact same hot studio sweating it out when Hulk Hogan was doing his cool thing. And of course, he was late. Everyone was sitting here waiting for him forever to show up, and he wasn't showing up. And I thought there was a slight chance I get to meet him if he showed up on time, but we know how that goes. Celebrities don't always do that. All right, I see in the chat, let me tell you something, brother. One person said, I got to meet the Bushwhackers. They were really cool, down-to-earth dudes. One person said, Hulk Hogan. Okay, so ultimately, no one wants to hear clips from The View and Joy Behar. Let's listen to some wrestling montage clips of Hulk Hogan, who, by the way, passed away today at the age of 71.
He's hulking up, Jess.
Hulking up.
He's got enough left in him. That adrenaline can do wonders. We're seeing what this guy is really made of. What he is. The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at
the greatest professional athlete in the world at one point. Could you say that? How accurate do you think that was, Ethan? Could you make an argument? Let's say you against 20 other people, each of them have their own greatest professional athlete. One person comes up. Oh, it's Michael Jordan. No. It's Wayne Gretzky. No. It's Babe Ruth. No. It's Lionel Messi. Could you make an argument and defend Hulk Hogan in that argument, in that arena?
That he's the greatest athlete
of all time.
Well, of one point in time. Probably I wouldn't be able to, right? He was a very good athlete, and he was in very athletic form, but everything, not everything, but so much of it is, right, is either scripted or is like you're told what is going to happen or what the final result is going to be, to where it's not like your success is solely based off of what you accomplished.
Sure, but he did. You do at the same time as an individual. You have to be able to perform in a certain way at that level.
Absolutely,
which is a very difficult thing.
It's performing, right? It's not. It's not sport.
Okay, Rocky was a better athlete than Thunderlips, is what one person said. One person said, "Never, ever, 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 Joy, ever, ever, ever." Which I'll take that point. But rest in peace, Hulk Hogan, passing away today at the age of 71. I'm Ryan Ranker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.